time to meet the men from the ministry. We're off for another ride on the ministry merry-go-round with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In Whitehall's General Assistance Office, a dedicated team stand by to help any government department that's overloaded. These are skilled executives, able to face every sort of problem and give a quick and decisive answer.
Another cup of tea, Mr. Lamb?
Yes, I might as well. On the other hand, maybe I won't. I find if I drink too much tea in the morning, it spoils my elevenses.
Any post today, Mildred?
Yes, just one letter, sir.
It's for me or for Mr. Lamb.
Well, I can't read the name and address. The post office have stamped a slogan right across it.
Slogan? What does it say?
Address your letters clearly.
Oh, it looks like official business. You better deal with it, too.
Why me? I answered a letter yesterday. I was hoping to have a rest today.
Good Lord, what's happened to your energy? I mean, where's your get up and go?
Afraid it got up and went.
So, haven't you any ambition in life?
I say, one, this letter's from the Air Ministry. They want us to order more Spitfires to help win the Battle of Britain.
Oh, well, put it in hand right away, and then we get... What? Battle of Britain? That was over 30 years ago.
The post is slow these days, isn't it?
Do you know, it's a living scandal. The post gets slower and the costs get higher. I don't know where it's all leading to.
The government's aware of the problem, Mildred. Next time postal charges go up, people will be able to buy their stamps on HP.
Well, it's a blooming menace, I call it. Oh, and talking of blooming menaces, the permanent undersecretary said he was coming to see you this morning.
Well, Sir Gregory? Oh, yes. Well, I suppose it had to happen. He hasn't bothered us for a couple of weeks, has he?
I hear he's been too busy with his new blonde secretary.
Yeah, she's in his office all day, taking things down. She says he ends every sentence with a proposition.
Well, I wonder what the old goat wants with us.
Now then, I want a word with you two. Tea?
No, thanks, Sir Gregory. We've just had a pot.
Oh, good morning, Sir Gregory.
Flattery will get you nowhere, Lennox Bryan. Oh. Now, pay attention, all of you. I have a task for this department. I've just had a meeting with the director of the post office.
Indeed, sir, yes.
They feel they have a bad image at the moment.
And we are required to improve it, sir?
That and other things. Many points need tightening up. For a start, more people must use their post offices. Many of them run at a loss, especially in London.
It's different in the country, sir. My Aunt Primrose runs the village post office at Nether Stropping, and she turns over a tremendous amount.
Your family's habits are no concern of mine, then. Our brief is to boost business in London's post offices and to improve the collection of monies, TV licenses, dog licenses, and so on.
We shall give the whole matter our most earnest attention, sir.
Perhaps some new slogans might help, sir.
Well, it's possible, yes.
Yeah, I mean, something like, the postman trudges round the block to cheer the wives with his postman's knock.
Or, more simply, make the most of your postman.
I'll leave the details to you. Yes. Now, I want you to make a success of this. Lord Stilton himself is interested in the project.
Ooh, Lord Stilton.
I want things done properly, without delay and without any slip-ups.
Yes.
Now, get on with it.
Well, too, we'd better think about the post office.
Why don't we get them to put hard covers on their telephone directories?
What on earth for?
Well, they'd be much better for propping our windows open.
Oh. Well, the phone service certainly needs some thought. With this long-distance dialing, people get the wrong numbers, you know.
Yeah. How's this for a slogan, man? If in difficulties, consult the operator.
Good thinking, sir.
Thank you.
Yes. That should go on the front of the phone book.
Yeah. Oh, I've all sorts of ideas.
Have
for
you?
Instance,
yes.
These people who don't buy TV licenses.
Oh, yes.
We need more of those detector vans with giant aerials on top.
And what about the people who don't buy dog licenses?
Use a van with a giant bone on top. And I can think of lots of ways to brighten the post offices. Lord Stilton will be pleased.
I want a word with you, Pitkin.
By Jove, Lord Stilton. Oh, good morning, sir.
Flattery will get you nowhere, Pitkin.
Quite so, sir.
Stand up straight, take your hands out of your pockets.
No, certainly, sir.
Now, what the blazes has your department been doing, huh? Your staff have come up with the most idiotic schemes for modernizing the post office.
Oh, good gracious, sir. Let me pour you a brandy.
You can't get out of it that way, Pitkin. Make it a double while you're at it.
Of course.
The postmaster of one of our biggest West End post offices tells me he had orders to bring his place into line with country post offices.
In what way, sir?
Post offices all over London are now selling cooked ham, biscuits and paraffin.
Good grief.
Some absurd idea about making a profit. Now, but that's nothing. To attract more customers, young female counter clerks have been instructed to appear topless.
Good Lord. Where?
Above the waist, of course.
Topless counter clerks. I must go and investigate at once.
Stay where you are, man. Stay where you are and listen. In most post offices, queues are twice as long as usual.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So your people have installed postal staff as buskers to entertain them.
Buskers?
In the Leicester Square post office, three postmen are singing Return to Sender and playing the spoons.
Oh, I'm appalled, Lord Stilton. Lennox, Brown and Lamb are responsible for this.
Lennox, Brown and Lamb? They're the two you've suggested for the mailbag experiment.
Yes, sir. I'm afraid no one else is free.
Good grief. They won't bungle that, will they?
By the time I finish with them, they'll never bungle anything again. They won't have the strength.
This mailbag experiment's extremely important. If anything goes wrong, I'll hold you responsible.
Of all the crass stupidity, the whole scheme was ill-judged, brainless, and utterly idiotic.
Does that mean you're not pleased, Sir Gregory?
I'm furious, Lamb, and I'm not the only one. Lord Stilton's so angry, he could scarcely finish his ninth brandy.
If you'll give us another chance, sir, I'm sure we can do better.
Well, as it happens, you'll get another chance. And if you don't do better, you'll both be out on your stupid ears.
Thank you, Sir Gregory.
Now, listen carefully. As publicity for the post office, a specimen mailbag is to be sent from London to Edinburgh on Friday. It's to show how quickly and efficiently mail can be carried.
Yes, I understand, sir, yes.
Now, this special mailbag will carry a gold star for identification purposes. By Saturday, it has to be in Edinburgh, where the Lord Provost will open it in front of the TV cameras.
And how are we to assist in the project, sir?
You're to supervise the dispatch of this mailbag from the London sorting office. Oh. You'll be liaising with Mr. Morris, the senior man there. He's a P-O-O-F. Yes, post office organizer facilities. Now, between you, you're to see that this mailbag is dispatched in good time and in good order.
Yes.
Fortunately, I'm told he's extremely able and bright. A first-class brain.
Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome to our sorting office.
Ah, Mr. Morris.
Really? Oh, my name's Morris, too.
No, Lamb.
Oh, not at all, I assure you, it's Morris. It has been for years.
No. Mr. Morris, perhaps we should start again.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, I'm Lennox Brown, that's Mr. Lamb, and this is Miss Murfin, who's here to take notes.
Oh, how do you do?
We're from the ministry, you see.
Oh, I know, and I'm greatly honored. It makes me feel very humble to be working alongside you high-powered government experts.
Quite, yes. Now, Mr. Morris, we're here to watch the dispatch of the sample mailbag to Edinburgh.
Well, we're all ready to start, Mr. Lummox Brown. As you can see, we have the world's most modern equipment to assist us.
It's very impressive, Mr. Morris.
That machine over there, for instance, can sort 50,000 letters a minute.
Amazing. And it looks just like a coffee machine.
Wait a minute. That is our coffee machine. Oh, dearie, they will keep shifting things around. That's the sorting machine over there, you see.
Ah, the letters go from there to dispatch.
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. Actually, they're propelled by the, whatchamacallit, through the thingamabob and down into the how's your father.
Oh?
I'm not being too technical for you, am I?
I think I've got it, yes. But don't some of the letters fall out?
Oh, well, of course they do. But one of my lads down there sweeps them up and burns them. After all, we didn't lose any letters. He'd be out of a job, wouldn't he?
Well, yes, that's true, yes.
Yeah, well, let's move on, Mr. Lummox Green. The special mailbag is below, waiting for the letters to come down.
And what's behind this green baize door?
Oh, no, no, don't go through there, sir. Oh, dear me, no, no. Oh, no, that's the mail chute. Goes straight down into the open mailbag, you see. Now, if you follow me, I'll show you some of the wonders of automation.
Yes, most interesting, isn't it, too? Mildred, what are you doing over there?
Well, there's a very early post office parcel cruncher over here.
Well, never mind that. We're following Mr. Boris. Now, come along, both of you. Don't get left behind.
Fascinating, don't you think, Mildred? I wonder what's behind this green baize door.
No, don't go that way, Mr. Lamb. The others went down the corridor.
Oh, I must have a peep. I'll catch you up.
Yeah, all right then, but I'm going to join the rest of them. Yes.
Now, what could this possibly be? It's very dark. It's almost like a...
No, Mr. Lamb's not here, Mildred.
Well, if he didn't come back to the office, I can't think where he's got to.
Very odd, wandering off like that. I suppose he got bored with the sorting office and went straight off to lunch.
Still, we got the mail on the move, didn't we?
Marvellous, you know, how that gadget seals the mailbag as soon as something has come down the chute.
Yeah, and the way that machine pummels the bag into shape and... Oh, into the loading bay.
Yeah, it's lucky it's only paper in there. Not anything breakable. Oh, dear, where is Mr. Lamb? I must say he's gone down in my estimation.
The last time I saw him, he was going through the green baize door.
Oh, yes, well, if he went... What? The green baize door? He didn't go through there.
Well, he was going to, sir.
But that's the mail chute. He could have gone straight down into the mailbag.
Oh, surely not, sir. I mean, I know he can be daft, but not blooming daft.
Yes, you're right, Mildred. It's too ridiculous, then. Hello, Lennox Brown speaking.
Post office sorting department. Horace Morris here.
Oh, yes, Mr. Morris, yes.
I'm sorry to trouble you, sir, but we've just found your colleague's bowler hat in our conveyor belt.
Good grief.
And not only that, his brolly's where the Gold Star mailbag was.
Yes. Well, perhaps you'd be kind enough to post my colleague's belongings back to this office.
Oh, no, no. I'll send them by messenger. You know how unreliable the post is.
Mr. Lamb's done it, Mildred.
Huh?
Yes, he fell down the chute into the mailbag. The special one with the gold star on it.
But that's awful, sir. That bag's on its way to Edinburgh. We must tell British Rail. Have them rip it open.
Now, Mildred, we mustn't be hasty. If we did that, everyone would know we'd made a bloomer. Sir Gregory said, one more, and you're out.
But if the Lord Provost gets that sack and finds Mr. Lamb in it, he'll be ever so cross. And Sir Gregory's sure to find out, and then you'll get the sack.
Oh, by Jove, you're right, Mildred. Yes, we must help Mr. Lamb. Yep. Well, let's get down to King's Cross Station. Maybe the bag hasn't left yet.
Right. Senior official in the station master's office.
Mm? Oh, yes. Oh, excuse me, but I'd like to ask you something. It's a matter of urgency.
Down the platform, third door on the left.
I'm from the ministry, and I'm supervising the Gold Star mailbag experiment.
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, now tell me, has the bag gone yet?
Of course it has. That bag was on the train to Liverpool an hour ago.
Liverpool? It was supposed to go to Edinburgh.
Whoa, that's not far from Liverpool.
Is it? Of course it's far from Liverpool.
Whoa, nobody tells me nothing.
Mildred, we must get after that bag at once. We'll have to go to Liverpool.
Here, there's a train for Liverpool in 5 minutes. Remember, it's quicker by rail.
A special mailbag intended for Edinburgh is put on the wrong train. Now, it should be here in Liverpool.
You are?
Look, you've got a mailbag that should be on its way to Edinburgh. British Rail have bungled.
That's not fair. We've no mailbags here, so there.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. We're not daft, you know, just because we talk daft.
You're saying there weren't any mailbags on the 215 from King's Cross?
Oh, yeah, there were on, like, but they threw them off a crew. We unload a lot of mail a crew. They like it there.
So the bags are crew.
Oh, dear, dear. Crew station's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, six platforms, and all of them covered in mailbags. I suppose this is where lost mailbags come to die.
Help!
Did you hear that, sir? I heard a voice.
Help!
It's him! Hmm? It's him! He's in one of them, sir. Look, there it is, the bag with the gold star.
Let me out!
It's all right, too. It's all right. We're with you.
You've got to get me out of here,
one. Yes, well, yeah, all right, but it won't be easy. The bag is padlocked.
I'm cold and hungry.
It's all right, Mr. Lamb. I've got this sausage roll at the station buffet. Look, we can push it bit by bit through the hole in the neck.
I haven't got a hole in my neck.
Oh, don't make a stupid fuss, too. A ministry man should be calm at all times, even when sitting in a mailbag. Keep a stiff upper lip.
My upper lip's the only place it isn't stiff.
Look, listen.
Here, what's all this then?
Oh, Gloria, keep quiet too. There's a porter coming.
What are you two doing? Talking to the mailbags, are you?
Yes. Well, no, of course not.
No, it's all right. This gentleman's me dad, and we were train spotting. Were we, Mr. Lennox Brown?
Yes, right. Yes.
Oh, well, keep away from the mailbags then. They're nothing to do with you. Hey, come on, Harold. Get these mailbags on the train. They've got to get to Southampton.
Southampton? Just a moment, my good man. Don't you mean Edinburgh?
Here, are you trying to tell me my job? Now, here you are, Harold. This one will fit on the trolley if you shove it on upside down.
That's the one Mr. Lamb's in, sir. Stop him.
Well, how can I? A ministry man can't get involved in a brawl with a porter. Especially one who's bigger than he is.
Well, we've had it now, haven't we?
By no means, Mildred. Now, listen. I had the presence of mind to detach this gold star from the sack while that uncouth fellow was talking.
Well, how does that help?
There are still some mailbags down the other end of the platform. If we stick this star on one of them and put it on a train to Edinburgh, the Lord Provost can still get a gold star sacked by tomorrow.
That's brilliant, sir. But what about poor Mr. Lamb being sent to Southampton?
Well, it's not all that far away. You always said he liked to travel. Morning, Mildred.
Morning, sir. You're looking very cheerful for a Monday morning.
And why not? Why not? The Lord Provost of Edinburgh got his gold star mailbag. I saw it on TV.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to watch that, but our telly's conked out.
Your TV's broken down? Oh, I say, that's unfortunate.
Oh, it is, sir. When Mum went shopping on Saturday, she didn't know what to buy.
Well, the Edinburgh ceremony went off very smoothly. The Provost opened the bag, we switched at crew, and seemed perfectly happy.
What was in the mailbag, sir?
Well, mail, of course.
Oh.
Yes, lots of yellow envelopes.
So, all's well that ends well. Oh, but look, what about poor Mr. Lamb? He must still be at Southampton, shivering on some drafty platform.
He won't be shivering. He'll be quite snug in that sack. And I've sent a telegram to the station master there, telling him not to part with any mailbags.
So we can go and rescue him today.
Ah, General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown.
Evans here, Station Master, Southampton.
Ah, yes, Mr. Evans. You got my telegram, did you? You've held all the mailbags that came from Crewe.
I got it, sir, but it came too late. All the mailbags had already been shipped on board.
On board? Good grief. The Isle of Wight Ferry, I suppose.
Oh, no, the QE2 to New York.
The mailbags are on their way to New York? Oh, good heavens, Evans. Well, we shall have to think about this. Thank you very much for ringing.
Mr. Lamb's all at sea.
Don't cry, Mildred. Sea air will do him good. All that ozone. And remember, the QE2 is a luxury liner.
Well, upstairs, yeah, but not down in the hold.
There won't be enough air. You'll die of affectation.
It's not a very long crossing, is it?
Mr. Lennox Brown, if we don't do something, Mr. Lamb will be passing on to that great ministry in the sky.
And if Sir Gregory finds out you lost a member of staff, he'll give you a bad report.
Oh, you're right, Mildred, yes. We must get the QE2 turned back to port. Get me the number of the shipping office, will you?
Yes, sir, at once, sir.
I'll be drafting a cable to the harbour authority, and they'd better have an ambulance standing by.
Hello, Mildred.
Don't interrupt, too. We've got an emergency on our hands. A man's life is at stake.
Oh, who is it?
Well, who is it? Well, it's you, of course.
Oh, I see.
You? What the blazes are you doing here? I mean, why aren't you in the mailbag on the QE2?
I escaped one. They dropped the bag at the docks and it burst open. The whole thing's absolute disaster.
Oh, nonsense, too. While you've been lolling around in your mailbag, we've fixed everything. We sent a substitute sack to Edinburgh and everybody's happy. Lennox Ball.
Post office, sorting office, Horace Morris here.
Oh, it's yeah.
About that demonstration mailbag that went from London to Edinburgh.
Yes, well, it arrived, Mr. Morris. Don't worry. Thank you very much. A bag full of yellow envelopes.
Yes, well, hasn't there been some mistake? Those little yellow chaps were Poole's coupons. They should have gone to Liverpool.
Poole's coupons?
Yes, so it's hard luck on anyone in Southwest One.
Well, that's our district.
Yeah, well, anyone there who posted Poole's last week, they won't have got there. They'll be disqualified. I wondered if you knew what like went on.
Oh, yeah, well, we do. Of course, Mr. Morris. Oh, yes, but I'm afraid I can't discuss it. It's all confidential. Top secret, one might say. In fact, one will say. It's all top secret.
Oh, I might have known you had it in hand, sir. Sorry I wasted your time. I'll bid you goodbye, sir. It was a pleasure working with you.
Thanks to your bungling, too, we've made a slight error. That sack we rerouted at Crewe was full of Poole's coupons from this area.
Poole's don't matter, do they? I mean, no one I know's ever won anything.
I've won! I've won the Poole's!
What? Good grief, too. Sir Gregory's won.
I always thought he was.
Only 8 draws on Saturday, and I got the lot. I must have won 500,000. Yes, I've sent off my claim already. 500,000! I just had lunch at my club, and I've decided to throw it all up. I'm leaving the civil service. Do you know, I've already hurled my secret files out of the window.
No, Sir Gregory, please.
Well, with money like that on the way, I can do anything. I'll buy my new secretary a mink coat and a sports car. And I might even buy my wife a new cardigan.
You mustn't be rash, Sir Gregory.
All right, then, a second-hand cardigan.
You know, sir, my colleague means that 500,000 doesn't go that far these days.
Exactly. Bread's going up again.
Oh, my word, you chaps will have your little joke.
I'll go and recover your secret file, sir. I mean, if Lord Stilton found out, he might be very annoyed, sir.
Lord Stilton? I don't care. 2 paper clips for that superannuated old goat.
Who?
Not with a fortune coming my way. I can't wait to tell him what I really think of him.
There you are, Pitkin.
Ah, it's you, Stilton. You silly old fool. You know, the more I see you, the less I like you.
What did you say?
If they ever put a price on your head, take it.
What?
A head like yours wouldn't look out of place in an umbrella stand.
How dare you? How dare you?
If I've something to do, you were trying to insult you, Stilton. Believe me, I've tried my best.
Oh, poor old Gregory. He's finally snapped. I warned him about his way of life. Wine, women, and song. Not that he ever sang much.
I suppose you'll sack him, Lord Stilton.
Within the next day or two, perhaps, yes.
When a man's had that sort of breakdown, one tries to be kind. He might be kept on, but not in a senior post.
If you're looking for someone to fill the vacancies, sir.
I shan't be looking here, Lennox Brown. You've got some explaining of your help to the post office, yes?
Well, that is correct, sir. Yes, yes.
And one of your bright ideas was a new slogan on the front of the telephone books.
If in difficulties, consult the operator. They've already been printed and sent out, sir.
Indeed they have, and I have one here with one of your ghastly misprints on the front. Look at it, man. Look at it. Read what it says.
If in difficulties, insult the operator.
I put an inn where I should have had a con.
The operators won't like it, will they?
They don't like it, Lamb. They've had abuse the whole weekend, and now they're coming out on strike. You've brought this country's telephone service to a halt.
And here is the news read by Brian Martin. As Britain faces a further week without telephones, there's news of attempts at substitute means of communication. In London, a tourist who asked if he could call his wife in America was handed a large megaphone. The Prime Minister was seen on the roof of the House of Commons today sending messages to Downing Street by semaphore. Reporters later asked if he was flagging, but the Prime Minister replied from the roof that for once he felt he was on top of things. Ministry staff have been using carrier pigeons, and some have used swallows for urgent messages. This worked well until today, when the swallows flew south for the winter, taking the messages with them. Now the rest of the news. There were amazing scenes in Whitehall today when a senior executive, Sir Gregory Pitkin, ran from his office, shouting and screaming and tearing his clothes. He seemed to be yelling, "My money, they've taken my money." He was escorted from the building by four men in white coats.
Thank heavens the operators are back at work. I never appreciated the phone till we had to do without it.
Well, luckily, that seems to be the general reaction. Well, I saw Lord Stilton just now, too, and he almost gave me a smile. Said the whole thing was excellent public relations.
What news of Sir Gregory?
Well, apparently he's allowed out again. I gather Lord Stilton's having him back, but in some more junior job, you know. Any post today, Mildred?
No, not yet, sir. Seems as the new office messenger doesn't quite know his way round.
Ah, this will be him now, yes. Come in.
Here's your mail.
Blimey, it's a Gregory.
Good Lord. Just put it in the entry, would you, Pitkin?
Well, that uniform quite suits you, Pitkin. I dare say in time you might even grow into it.
Oh! I don't care if I am just the messenger. I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Please, don't.